You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Well, here we are again. It's winter. We're heading into a new year, and the pandemic is still not over. So first up on the show today, we'll check in with the City and Borough of Juneau for a COVID Q&A. So here with me, we have Robert Barr, Deputy Director for the City and Borough of Juneau. He has overseen the city's COVID response. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Shelley. How are you doing today?
Well, thanks. And also we have Denise Koch, who is the Deputy Director of Engineering and Public Works and also serves on the CBJ COVID response team. Hi, Denise.
Glad to be here.
I'm really glad you're both here with me to answer a few questions. First off, not all the news is bad. Juneau is at a lowered risk level at the moment. Can you say more about where we're at currently? I'm not sure which one of you would be better to answer that question.
Sure, I'll take that one. So right now we're at what we're calling a modified high level of risk. So if you think about our overall community mitigation strategies, we have a handful of levels from minimal to moderate to high and very high. And back in the middle of November, we reduced from high to what we call modified high. And what modified high really means is that we're at the moderate level of risk, except for our community masking strategy, which we've maintained at the high level. Because one of the things that we've really learned over the course of the pandemic, especially over the last year and a half or so, is how effective masks are at preventing the transmission and spread of COVID-19, which is all the more important given the current variant, still the Delta variant that we're struggling with, that is so much more transmissible than previous iterations of the virus.
Right. Masking. So I know there's been a lot. How challenging has it been to enforce compliance with the mask policy?
You know, that's a good question. It is a not an easy thing. And when we think about compliance with the mask mandate that we have in place right now, that really the last thing that we want to do is any kind of formal or official enforcement fine. That's not what we're out to do. Really, our main goal with masking is education and compliance via consent, if you will. We've learned and we just really want to share how effective masking is at preventing transmission. We know we're not going to achieve 100% compliance with masking. I'm over masking too. Like, it is not a pleasant thing to do. None of us want to be doing it. All of us, I think, one of the things that we can get behind is we want the pandemic to be completely behind us and over with. But as Dr. Zink says commonly, we may be done with the virus, but the virus is not done with us, unfortunately. And we know that masking is a really good tool in our toolbox to layer those protections.
Denise, is there anything you would add to that?
I agree with Robert, and I think especially, I know that your listeners can't see us, but we're both wearing glasses, and I know that in the wintertime, you have the extra sort of fogging that happens with the glasses. But I think, you know, ultimately, Juneau is a great community. We're all in this together, and masking is a great tool to help us, you know, get the pandemic in the rearview mirror.
Got it. I do want to talk a little bit more about some of the other mitigation strategies that the city is introducing, but travel for the holidays is ramping up, and I just wanted to check in. Are there any restrictions at all that people need to be aware of before they start heading off in different directions for Christmas and whatnot?
Yeah, you know, the main thing that I would say there is just be cognizant of where you're traveling to, because some places have restrictions in place that you'll want to pay attention to, like needing a test ahead of time within a certain amount of time. And similarly, if you're traveling internationally and coming back into the States, there's a requirement that you have either a PCR or antigen test done within a day of departing to return back to the country. So that's definitely something that people should be aware of right now. There aren't any specific requirements or mitigation measures in place that people need to be aware of for traveling back to Juneau, although we do still offer free complimentary testing at the Juneau airport when you return to town, and very much encourage people to take advantage of that. Also, just one other note on international travel, if you're getting an antigen test for that, it has to be proctored. that's been a question that's come into us quite a bit recently about, you know, what does that mean? How do I get a proctored test? And really, when you're purchasing that test, wherever it is, whether you get it here before you leave the country or outside of the country, you'll just want to look for that service on the test kit, because some antigen tests offering that proctoring service, it's generally done via a smartphone. It's like a video telehealth consult, and some don't. So you want to make sure you're getting the right kind if you're gonna go that route.
Got it. Let's talk vaccines for a moment. I just heard on the news today, and this I don't swear by it or anything, but I did hear it on NPR, that the Omicron variant is, they're seeing breakthrough cases with people who have had the first two doses of Pfizer or and Moderna and one of Johnson & Johnson. But Omicron doesn't seem to be breaking through folks who got the booster. So can you remind me, where are all the places that are available to get a vaccination or a booster?
Sure, I can take that one. You're right. There's some new information today that just came out from Pfizer that indicated that when you get the booster dose for adults who are over the age of 18, it's really effective against the Omicron variant. Some of the information that's come out on the Pfizer vaccine has shown that when you just have the regular two-dose series, that it still provides some protection against Omicron, but you have a lower level of antibodies than what was seen with some of the other versions of the disease. And luckily in Juneau, we have boosters for adults widely available throughout the community. You could get them at public health, you could get them at Search, you could get them at Juneau Urgent Care, Genoa Healthcare. They're widely available at pharmacies throughout the community. And if people need help getting connected to where they can get a vaccine, they could go to juneau.org/vaccine, or they could call our hotline at 586-6000, and you'll be connected with someone who could help connect you to a vaccine appointment. But they're very widely available throughout town.
I was trying to find some information today on where folks might be able to get a booster after hours. Are there any after hours availability for vaccines or for boosters or on the weekends?
There is availability on weekends at various pharmacies. And I know Costco, for example, just jumps to mind. They have Saturday hours. The Public Health Center, I think, they mainly offer their vaccines during business hours. But I think if you needed to get a vaccine on the weekend or after hours, I think there's some wide availability at urgent care and at some of the pharmacies.
Great. Thanks so much for that information. Well, I mean, it is getting kind of hard to talk about COVID without sounding like a broken record. I think most of us know what we need to do, you know, get our vaccines, get our boosters, masks, social distance, and get testing. But we do actually have something new to talk about today, and that's at-home testing. These kits are available through CBJ. So I wanted to ask some questions about that. First of all, what are some of the reasons that the city wants to implement at-home testing?
Yeah, thanks for that question, Shelley. So you know, at-home testing is just another tool in our toolbox to help address the pandemic. And really the biggest reason why we want people to have testing available at home is so that you can get that immediate knowledge about whether or not you're testing positive for COVID or not. You know, just think about the scenario where you wake up one morning and you've got a scratchy throat, and maybe it's weird for you to have a scratchy throat, and maybe it doesn't rise to the level of, like, gosh, I'm going to, you know, take time off of work and go schedule myself for a drive-through visit at the testing center and take time to do that because it's probably just going to go away. You know, that kind of thing. That's the kind of thing that we'd like you to take an at-home test for, because it might be COVID. And if it is, it's better for you to know that right away. And these at-home test kits that we're providing, thanks to the state and federal government, they're provided by the feds through the state. They're really good at detecting COVID in people who are experiencing symptoms who may be transmissible. They're not quite as sensitive as a PCR test. So, you know, if you take one of these tests and you're really mildly symptomatic, or you're not symptomatic, but you had a close contact and that's why you took the test, you may wanna follow up with the PCR test just to be sure. But at the same time though, these test kits come with two tests in them. So If that's the scenario and you test negative on the first one, the guidance, the advice that's provided with the test kit is to follow up and take the second one 36 hours later. So they're really just another tool that's available that we think will make a difference in people. We think will make a difference because they give people that immediate knowledge rather than having to wait a day or more for test results from a lab.
Absolutely. And I'm guessing these are pretty easy to do. Have either of you tried one out? Can you tell us how it works?
I have. I've done one myself, and my wife has as well. And it's really simple. So I like to compare it to an at-home pregnancy test. It's very similar to that, except of course it uses your we'll be specific here. It uses your nasal secretions instead of your urine to detect whether or not you're positive or negative. And really what you do is you open the box. In the box, there is a swab and there is a vial, and then there's the test itself. And you swab your nose, each nostril for about, you know, four to five circles, if you will, in each nostril. You then put that swab into the vial and you let it sit for a minute so that the liquid in the vial can absorb what's on the swab, those nasal secretions. And then you take the swab out, throw it away, and then you drop the test into the vial and you let it sit for 10 minutes. And then you either have one line or two on that test, kind of just like a pregnancy test at the end of those 10 minutes. And it tells you if you're positive or negative.
So one line is negative, two is positive?
That's right.
All right. Well, how can we get a hold of tests, and is there enough to go around right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we do still have tests available, and we are getting more every week. So right now, it looks like we've only been doing this for about a week right now. Today is actually 7 days exactly. And so far, it appears that the supply that we're going to get every week is going to be enough. Based on our current burn rate. And burn rate is just how many people have been taking from our pickup locations. So we'll keep paying attention to that and updating folks. But there are right now 5 locations around town where you can get one of these test kits, and we're working on expanding that to 7. Hopefully we'll be able to announce that tomorrow. But the 5 that are currently available are all 3 public libraries, Downtown Valley and Douglas, and then also City Hall downtown at the cash office, and the Diamond Park Aquatic Center in the Valley. And we're the 2 locations that we're working on, I think it's fine to announce it, they know we're doing it, is the Public Health Center on Glacier Highway at 3412 Glacier, and then JPD on Lemon Creek, the headquarters there.
Wow. This seems like it's pretty big news. I think it'll be really useful to help people gather safely over the winter holiday celebrations. But I know that, if you get testing through the city, they report the results. How will at-home testing affect positive case count tracking?
Yeah, you kind of hit the nail on the head there. So, one of the things that is true about all laboratory-based tests is that any lab that performs COVID tests in the state of Alaska is required as part of their licensure to report that result back to the state, so that the state and localities have good, what we call situational awareness. It's kind of to the state of COVID in the community. That's what enables us to report case counts and to report metrics like our test positivity number, which is how many tests are coming back positive versus the total number of tests that we're performing in the community. We're losing that, frankly, with these at-home COVID tests. People are not required to report the results of those tests because people aren't licensed to do tests, right? That's a fact. That's just part of how laboratory licensing works. We certainly ask folks to report those results to public health, particularly if they're positive. But that's not a requirement. And of course, we won't know the total number of tests that are being performed, the total number of at-home rapid tests, rather, that are being performed in the community. So we'll lose a little bit of integrity in that data that we've been reporting and been getting. We think, though, that the trade-off is worth it, right? We think that the value of people having immediate access to testing in the comfort and convenience of their home outweighs the loss of data integrity that we are going to see as this testing strategy, we think, becomes the dominant testing strategy here in Juneau, but also throughout the country and nation, or state and nation.
Denise, would you like to add anything?
I was just going to add that the test positivity rate that we've been using in the past is just one piece of data that we look at when we're thinking about the community risk levels. So we're also constantly checking in with public health and with the hospital to see how many people are in the hospital or who have come in for monoclonal antibody testing. So there are a variety of data points that we're getting in when we're thinking about the state of COVID in the community.
Got it. Well, I know that at-home tests have been widely used in other places. So it's a little bit new to Juneau, but it is not new overall. And frankly, I'm excited that that's an option now. So as we wrap up today, I know you can't predict the future, but I am curious as to where each of you think we'll be this time next year in 2022.
Oh, I wish I had a crystal ball. I've wished I've had a crystal ball this entire pandemic. You know, it's my hope that, a year is a long way away, but I would love it if we learned within the next couple of weeks even, so forget the year thing, but it would be really phenomenal, and we don't have this information yet, and this is just pure wishful thinking on my part, but I'd really love it if we learned that the Omicron variant results in less severe disease, we've certainly heard that it's been the case in pandemics in the past that viruses can evolve in such a way to become more or less transmissible and more or less severe. And we don't really know much about this new variant yet, but sure would be nice if this proved to be one that was less severe. And if not this one, then maybe the next one. And that's kind of the thing that is at the forefront of my thinking right now on that topic.
Thanks, Robert. Denise, you get the last word.
Just because of the time of year, that question made me think about the ghost of Christmas future. and I know that we all are tired of dealing with COVID. My wish for the new year would be that Omicron is not more severe, as Robert mentioned, that although Juneau is a highly vaccinated community, that we get even more people feeling comfortable being vaccinated, and that we get to use some of these over-the-counter tests in ways that enable us to be safe when we're gathering with people outside of our bubbles, maybe for the holidays, and especially with folks that might be very vulnerable. And I wish everyone a happy holiday.
Thank you both so much, Robert Barr and Denise Koch from the City and Borough of Juneau COVID Response Team. It's great to talk with you both. Thanks for answering all my questions today.
Thanks so much, Shelley.
Hi.
Take care.